It's the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
Right now on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie at 118 North Millen Beloit or call them at 738-5701.
And it is the voice of the Jayhawks on a Friday. We rearrange things. It's a busy week for him. It's a busy week for us as well. And it worked out perfectly because now we have the Sunflower Showdown Part 3 between KU and K-State. Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great, Wade. How are you?
Not too bad. KU, K-State for a third time. We'll get to that in a moment. But let's just go back to yesterday. It defies logic, but that's why they play the games. You have Udoka. You get basically blitzed by Oklahoma State twice. No Udoka. And KU naturally wins by 14, but that's just the way things go. That's why you play the games and you tell all the experts to shut up, right?
Exactly. You know, Silvio, I thought, was really impressive. Career high 18 minutes out of him, career high 8 rebounds. They wanted him to play to his athleticism even more, play above the rim, and I think we saw that. I thought Mitch was good for Kansas. Bill Self said collectively coming in, he'd like to get 15 and 8 out of those two guys combined, and obviously you got that a little bit more on the glass. And so I think for Kansas, these next couple of days, you get by without Udoka if you're lucky enough to play on both days. And then you look back on this stretch and say, you know what, there was a silver lining. You know, I think these two can gain confidence through being leaned on more heavily. And particularly for Silvio right now, who's really seen the light come on the last couple of weeks. 10 points versus Oklahoma, 7 in Stillwater, another nice game last night. There may be a stretch, you know, in those 6 games in March, if you're lucky enough to play that many in the NCAA tournament, where you need something more out of Silvio than what he typically would give you, like a Sasha Kahn versus Davidson performance or a Cole Aldrich in the Final Four versus North Carolina. And it's games like yesterday when they stretch him out a bit, 18 minutes, you know, that allows a guy like Silvio, I think, to draw from that as you get deeper into the postseason and deeper into March. So really excited about what that could mean for him. And I think more than anything, you know, we talked about playing without Doak, but playing with a Malik Newman that's turned on, playing with the Gerald Vick who's dialed up in that second half, I mean, those are the difference makers. That's what makes this Kansas team so much more dynamic. You know what you're going to get from Devontae and Sneem those nights, but those are the two guys that Bill Self's been pushing buttons on to try to get them to come alive. You know, up and down through the roller coaster of the last 5 months. And if you can get more out of them, and I'm not talking about 30 a night for Malik, obviously, I'm just talking about more consistency. I think this is a Kansas team that clearly can make a deep run all the way to San Antonio.
All right, so what's the status with Doak? They hope to have him back for the NCAA tournament. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine. I really do. I mean, I'm staying with the team. I'm seeing him walk around right now, and obviously he's got a heavy brace on, and he's getting treatment around the clock. This is typically, when it's a grade 1 MCL sprain like this, it's a 48 to 72-hour type deal, and it's not as much pain tolerance as it is a little bit of looseness there, and you're wanting him to feel more solid and secure, and I think that's going to come. But they didn't want to force it this weekend, and like I said, you know, there's some positives to be gained by leaning on Silvio, and that's a little bit more right now. If this was the NCAA tournament, then maybe you put a heavy burden. I think they feel pretty confident that he's going to be able to be close to his normal self by next week, and that's exciting. So I think for Kansas fans, enjoy today, and hopefully there is a tomorrow, and shoot for Silvio, but take confidence that Doak should be fine for the NCAA tournament. And if for some reason it extended longer than anticipated and he missed a 16 versus a 1 or a 15 versus a 2 type game on Thursday, I would have 100% confidence he's back for Saturday. But honestly, Wade, I mean, I feel confidence in the upper 90s that he's going to be back for next Thursday unless there's some kind of setback along the way, because he's a tougher kid than he gets credit for. People forget he almost didn't play in Austin because of pretty significant back spasms, and he was able to grind it out and go for 13-13 versus Mo Bamba. So I think that push comes to shove next week with the stakes being so much higher and a full week of treatment, rest and rehabilitation, he should be good to go.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Millen Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. All right, so the win yesterday, do you think that locked down a number one seed in NCAA tournament for Kansas, or do you think they have more work to do in order to get that number one seed?
It's a good question, and I don't know that it locked it down just based on what else could happen. Even today with Duke and Carolina, I personally think that last Saturday when we lost and Duke won in that particular rivalry, in my mind, there was kind of a changing of the guard. Really, the ones and the twos, in many cases, are kind of interchangeable. And, you know, you just, if you're not a one and you wind up on a two line, you hope that your one that you're paired with is a little bit easier than getting the top two. And to me, Duke's been that team all along that I've said I don't want to be paired with. I just feel like Marvin Bagley and with Grayson Allen, they've got a great blend of the NBA lottery pick talent and the four-year veteran experience national champion type talent. So to me, you know, Kansas right now, they entered the week with a tie for the most quadrant one road wins. Their road schedule is off the charts, and a number of games against top 100 RPI teams started the week better than anybody. They were second in quadrant one wins overall, and so when I talk quadrants and resume and all that, that may sound like mumbo-jumbo or inside baseball to somebody that's a casual fan, but I encourage you to go on to NCAA.org where they have all these team sheets there to be viewed for free, and you can see exactly what the selection committee will be looking at come Sunday afternoon. So go to NCAA.org and just search NCAA team sheets, and you'll find them. But Kansas, if you're wondering how can a seven-loss team be on the one line, well, A, that's the type of year this has been in college basketball, and B, their strength of schedule, RPI, all the metrics that we look at to rate a basketball team are actually indicative of a team that's on the one line. And Bill Self said yesterday in the pregame, and rarely do I ever disagree with Coach, but he said, you know, Brian, we could wind up anywhere.
No.
And I kind of looked at it. I didn't say anything. I'm like, really? Four? And he's like, well, four may be a stretch. And I think he tells his team that, you know, to keep them sharp. And I think part of that in his mind was a little bit of paranoia that if the committee thought that Doak's injury was more serious than it actually is, they might drop them not only for a loss this week, but drop them an additional seed line for the possibility of Doak not playing. We're all expecting Doak to play. They've already won one game over a potential tournament team without him. So I think you're looking even stronger in the eyes of the committee. And if you win today without him, I don't know that it locks up a one, but, man, you think, okay, this Kansas team really has some metal to them. I mean, they have some toughness that if they lose a second-team All-Big 12-type guy, they can still go out there and win without him. And, again, we're fully expecting to have him back. So I think they are solidly, solidly on the line, regardless of what happens today. And they're somehow, I think, a win today would secure a one seed, even as a potential eight-loss team should lose on Saturday, and that would be nearly unheard of. So it'd be really interesting to see what happens. But the metrics are there for this team to be on the one line, even in a seven-loss year. That's just the type of year it's been in college basketball with so much topsy-turvy, people beating up each other action, not only in our league, but in essentially every league across the major conferences in America.
Here's my thoughts on the one seed. See if you agree. I think it's between the four we got now, of course. You got Virginia, Villanova, Xavier, and Kansas are projected to be the four ones right now. If Duke wins the ACC tournament, Duke's going to be a one seed. You can mark that down. So does that mean they bump Kansas or they bump Xavier or Villanova? My feeling is that if Xavier wins the Big East tournament, they probably get the one. But if they don't win the Big East tournament, even if they lose to Villanova in the finals, I think Xavier's out and Duke's in over Xavier, and I think Kansas is safe. But if Xavier would win over Villanova in the Big East tournament, then Xavier, I think, has a right to have a one, and you could make an argument Villanova could get a one as well, because I think Villanova has a better resume than Xavier, and then Kansas might be bumped out by Duke. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, and I for one think that the only way Xavier gets one, like you said, is if they win their conference tournament.
Yeah.
And if both Duke and Kansas win their respective leagues, then you got a little bit of a pickle there, because definitely Xavier's not going to be on that line, and maybe Duke replaces them and Kansas stays where they're at. But so we'll just have to see. It may be a stretch to sit here and think that Kansas can win both of these next two games. But then again, Texas Tech and West Virginia could beat up on each other tremendously tonight. You've got a situation where West Virginia extends the most pressure across the court, although they're not doing it as much as they used to. And maybe Texas Tech is the team that comes out and guards you the most in the half court. And so I'm really curious to see, you know, if Virginia, you know, obviously they're conditioned to play on three straight days with the amount of running they do and pressing they do. But, man, I think they could empty their bucket tonight just to get by Tech. So it's a bit of a sidebar conversation, but in dealing with the hypotheticals you're talking about, can Kansas win its conference tournament? If they do, I think Kansas absolutely is a one.
Oh, yeah.
Because the quadrant one wins have to put them there.
Oh, yeah.
But if Duke wins theirs, with who they would beat in route to winning the ACC and who they've beaten in the last couple of weeks, I kind of think they have to be there too. And so if that's the case, then you're looking at maybe Duke and Kansas, two ACC teams there. And honestly, I think that that's a plausible scenario. But obviously, we'll see what happens tonight before we even get to the final round in these respective leagues. But Kansas to be in this conversation in a year that featured, you know, a couple of non-con losses, you know, back-to-back fashion, a year that featured three Allen Fieldhouse home losses, four home losses overall, including the Sprint Center game to Washington, would never have thought we'd be talking one seeds 48 hours before Selection Sunday. And if this is perhaps an 8-1 in the last 12 years, if that doesn't speak to the incredible run Bill Self has had, and he'd tell you he's got to back it up more in the postseason, obviously, but 8 in 12 years, that's crazy. It's something that nobody in Durham, Chapel Hill, Bloomington, Westwood, I'm quoting off Indiana, UCLA, Lexington, where Kentucky plays, nobody else can quote that right now. That's when Kentucky won the top.
Absolutely right. And one more thing to finish on the number one seed conversation. KU wins a Big 12 tournament. They'd be tournament champions. They'd be regular season outright champions. Virginia won the ACC regular season by four games. Duke, if they win the ACC tournament, they'll be a one seed. And if Xavier wins the Big East tournament, they would have won the regular season title and the Big East tournament. There's your four ones, and Villanova's knocked out as a two. That's my prediction if it would go that way. Let's talk about your game, K-State, KU today. This is an interesting game because Udoka's not going to play. We know that, but now reports are surfacing. It came out yesterday after the K-State win over TCU that Dean Wade has a stress fracture, a foot injury. He, according to multiple sources, he is probably not going to play tonight against KU. That certainly changes a lot for K-State, but as we just saw with KU, shorthanded, they rallied around the troops and got it done, and K-State certainly could do the same thing without Dean Wade. It seems implausible to I know a lot of K-State fans, without Dean Wade, how are we going to possibly compete against Kansas tonight? But we've seen teams, usually at least for a game, you can rally around, get the troops together and rally and pick up a guy that's on the bench not playing and can play really well.
Yeah, it's certainly a possibility when you have the type of guard firepower that they have to work with. Keep in mind, Kansas really hasn't faced Kamau Stokes this year. I think he got in for a couple of minutes in the second meeting. This was one of those scheduling quirks. You know, everybody plays one team twice in a two-week span, and then they're off your schedule entirely. And then there was a team like Oklahoma State. We didn't play until our 10th game. And for us, as Kansas people, it was kind of fortunate, based on the Kamau Stokes injury, that we caught them when we did, because as long as we didn't have to worry about him. And at the time we played them before, Mayween wasn't playing as well as he was. So I think for Kansas, regardless of Dean Wade's status, there's a greater challenge with Stokes back and you know, now Stokes and are able to play together some. Barry Brown, obviously, he was the guy that stepped up the most initially when Stokes went out, and we've seen what he's capable of with multiple 30-plus point games. And then Mayween, you know, I would have told you prior to his 16-9 yesterday that I'm actually, you know, kind of glad that K-State's on our side of the bracket in light of the Doak news, because they don't have, you know, a Zagabakanate-type guy to worry about in the semifinal round, and maybe we're pushing him, you know, it's a Saturday, should Kansas be fortunate enough to get there. But then you go out and you watch the way Moeen played, and suddenly, you know, maybe they are a little bit more, you know, potent in the post. So excited to see what that looks like, but obviously the guy that's been the biggest Jayhawk killer, even though it hasn't always, you know, added up in the end to team success, but individual success, you know, Dean Wade, what he's done in some of his best career games has been versus Kansas. The kid that, my understanding, grew up with some KU posters on his wall in his bedroom and winds up, you know, becoming a Wildcat. And every time he plays Kansas, you feel like he's saving his best for KU. So excited to see what the final news is there and whether or not he plays. You know, clearly there's enough to respect and fear, frankly, with Barry Brown, Stokes, Jada, Moeen, all these guys. And Bill Self has straight up said, not on the record, but just to me privately, that, man, next year, that's a team entering 2018-2019 that concerns him as much or more than anybody in the league in possibly dethroning the Hawks and standing in the way of 15 straight league titles. Because when you look at who's coming back and the experience factor, a team that will be made mostly of juniors and seniors that I haven't even talked about yet, you know, clearly this is a club that's going to make some waves next year. And so I'll be curious to see what that all pans out with on Wade's status. But I think without him, there's enough firepower there to give Kansas fits. And keep in mind, if Kansas can't play inside out, you know, with a guy you can lob it up to for 8 dunks a game, then they are guard-reliant. And that's not just jump shots. We saw Kansas get points in the paint yesterday by driving the ball. But K-State has a good ability of staying in front of Kansas with athleticism that can stay with them stride for stride that, you know, at times other teams come out. So I think that takes that away a little bit too. So this is going to be a toss-up matchup regardless. And if Kansas is good enough to win it, boy, that's going to be a hot ticket on Saturday, because suddenly an event that typically Kansas fans don't get up for nearly as much because there's not as much to play for most years by the time you get here, it means something this year for all the one-seed talk we just shared. And I think, man, come Saturday, if Kansas is still standing, you've got either Tech or West Virginia staring back at you. Because remember, Wade, this was supposed to be the tournament where with 9 potential NCAA tourney teams, there was going to be some upheaval.
Yeah.
And yet you look at it as we head to the semifinal round, 1, 2, 3, and 4, yeah, all still there,
yeah,
which means if Kansas is there on Saturday, all eyes are going to be on Kansas City. That's going to be a ton of fun.
No, I agree with you on that. KU, K-State tonight, pregame 5:30, tip-off at 6 o'clock on Z96.3 The Lake. All right, time for the off-the-wall of the question. It's a football-related question, Bronny. I'm shaken up a little bit. You probably heard Aqib Talib traded from the Broncos to the L.A. Rams for a fifth-round pick. My question for you is, who gets suspended first with the Rams, Talib or Marcus Peters?
Man, that's quite a secondary all of a sudden, right?
Yeah, talent-wise, yeah.
And I love Aqib, so I can say this and not get in trouble, but the ego and the self-confidence in the quarterback's film room between those two guys. And with Aqib, I kind of like his swagger. I mean, he's a guy that talks a lot of trash and all that, but he backs it up. And I don't think he's a sideline distraction to the degree that Peters has been, obviously. But he loves to tell you what he's capable of, and I kind of like it about him. You like it when he's on your team. You don't like it when he's not. But, that's going to be one of the more formidable secondaries in the entire NFL now when you think about the moves they made to get those two guys. And
yeah,
I thought they were pretty good last year when Jared Goff made a big step forward and Todd Gurley looked like an MVP for portions of that season. So suddenly they got something out there in L.A., and it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. But was the question,
Who gets suspended first, Talib or
Peters? Oh, Peters for sure. because Talib, for all of his antics and all of that, I do think as an individual, and I'm not just saying this because he's a Kansas guy, I spent some time with him in September last year, I do think he's grown a lot as a person. And he'll still bump his gums, as JR used to say. That's what the kids call it, ash talking. But I don't think he's going to do anything to get himself suspended at this juncture in his career. Whereas Peters, man, that guy's a ticking time bomb. You never know with him. I'm hopeful for him that a change of scenery and realizing that, you know, he's been given a new opportunity, you better take advantage of it. I'm hoping that leads him to be able to reel himself in a little bit. But, man, that's an easy answer there. If you're asking me who's more likely to get suspended if he does first, it's Peters all the way.
All right. Hey, have a great call tonight, KU K-State Sunflower Showdown Part 3, and we'll preview NCAA tournament next week with you, Brian. Thanks for the time, man.
Sounds good, bud. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
See ya. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701.